Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to another episode of Official Dom J Radio. If you're hearing this, good morning. I hope you're doing well. As I'm recording this, it's Friday, December the 18th, about a week ahead of Christmas, you know what I'm saying? So happy holidays, Merry Christmas, New Year's, Hanukkah, everything in between. In the meantime, in between time, I hope y'all been cool, man, since the last episode. It ain't been too long. It's been a few weeks, but it's that holiday season, so we're diving into all the latest news. Of course, we're talking sports. We got playoffs coming around in the NFL. We got college football playoff play-in games, if you will, via the championship games happening this weekend. We got the latest cabinet picks of the new administration because, yes, even though the election was on early, November 3rd, we're sitting here some odd 6 weeks, finally really confirming this for some odd reason. But alas, that's not even the most 2020-ish thing to happen in 2020. So we're getting into that music for your consideration and, of course, much more all after this brief message. Good food, good life. Pure life begins now. That's why I drink a Nestle Pure Life purified water. A future full of possibilities starts by drinking pure quality water. Please be sure to empty and replace caps. Recycle plastic. The cap is a small part and poses a choking hazard, particularly for children. Pure life. Nestle. This episode's spoken word segment is entitled The Misappropriation. You can find it and similar works on the Official Dom J WordPress page, The Invisible Eye. That's The Misappropriation up next. The Misappropriation. Misquote these miscreants. Show the facade of unjust retaliation. The constant fear for life that leads to taking lives constantly. The news is a necessary and nauseating nuisance that never ceases to show a nation in a state of confusion. Practicing democracy amidst this bureaucracy. Justice is just this service for sale, happily never after, fairy tales are all that prevail. The misappropriation. Okay, so like I was saying, we're about a week out basically from Christmas, and I know the holidays this year, 2020 of all years, is going to be very different. I know a lot of people, including myself, not doing too much of that traveling or whatnot, especially with us never having gotten control of the pandemic. Numbers have essentially surged back up because we just got done with Thanksgiving, and so essentially with Christmas and New Year's coming back around, people, of course, getting out there and traveling because that's their prerogative, you can expect to see more of these coronavirus numbers continuing to rise. Now, that's a bleak outlook. Obviously, we're talking the holidays. People love to travel during the holidays, Dom. Of course, I know they do. But, you know, if you're looking for the glass half full perspective, you've got a number of COVID vaccines that have just now hit the streets from BioNTech, Moderna, Pfizer. Basically, if you've got one at this point, they're all getting approved in some capacity, mostly being delineated to essential workers and the elderly as the first test subjects, recipients, if you will, of this, 21 day apart, two time vaccine process. So, you know, we got the first dose is going out now. I guess we'll be tracking everybody who gets this first time around and checking back on them in 3 weeks when they get their second round. I guess, are we still looking at them for a three-week period after that? It's interesting. I'm not really sure how that whole process works. I mean, if you guys have some details, when you hear this, definitely hit your boy up because, I'm watching. I am watching, curious to see how it all shakes out. But, you know, hey, if you're traveling this time around, man, still be safe. You know what I'm saying? I know people get anxious. You get tired of seeing the same thing every day. You gotta move, gotta shake, gotta get on a plane. You know what I'm saying? Gotta go see the fam, et cetera, et cetera. But if you're being negligent in your safety protocols and doing so, that's on you, fam. It's gonna come back to bite you in the ass. So if we're thinking of saving lives and dollars this season, saving lives and dollars this holiday season, man, stay ass at home. Help healthcare workers help you. You can blame the man that's on his way out of the White House for not taking this serious enough back when it first began, because he had the chance, to really get ahead of this. It kind of comes back to, again, not having an adult in the room to properly assess, situations and then implement the proper pre-planning to get ahead of a pandemic. Now, instead, just kind of let the shit go crazy, throw out a $1,200 check here and, give out some unemployment and then just let that be that. Terrible fucking strategy. Let's just be honest. A terrible strategy. But, ultimately led to one of the contributing factors, I'm sure, that caused a record voter turnout. And now we got a new administration coming in, some actual adults coming in to the office to establish some sort of normalcy, unification. I don't know how much that's going to play true, but can't be much worse than what we currently got. I'm not too keen on Congress because, again, they're about to have their last sessions before they end for the year. And they're still just kind of playing around with fake money and deciding, hey, we can give out this many billions, but we can't give out this many billions or another set of trillions. When it's like, is any of it really real money? If you're thinking about helping all people that you all have been, assigned to speak on behalf of and stand for, how is there a price point, really? Is it realistic? Does it really make a difference? You're giving out what? They're speculating about $900 billion for the next go-round. People may get $600 stimulus checks. Unemployment benefits are going to be slashed as well. It's like, okay, I guess in whatever imaginary number system you all are coming up with, I guess that was the number that worked because that encompasses everybody that needs help in this moment. Unlike the first time when we were talking trillions, now we don't even get a single trillion this time, only 900 some billion. I don't know, man. It seems like a crock of BS to me. But again, I guess if you're looking at it from the bottom up, are we saying something better than nothing? I guess. But we're talking about elected officials. So thinking from this bottom up, bottom of the barrel scrape mentality, we can definitely have higher expectations. And if those people don't do their job, we'll continue to vote them out. Vote them out of office. So, we're looking like Biden and Harris coming in. I like the way they're assembling this cabinet, if I'm being real. I think they're doing a number of things, trying to address healthcare, trying to address racial inequalities, trying to address a raging pandemic, trying to address student debt cancellations, which is really a proposal that was fostered by Elizabeth Warren. So definitely shout out to her and company, my man, Phil the Burn. You already know how I feel. But again, they've been trying to assemble a cabinet that, if you think about what the country sort of looks like, they're trying to embody that in the cabinet. We're talking about diversity, which is, I don't know, I guess it's a hard concept for some people still heading into 2021. Diversity, I don't know why that's a crazy concept. It's not some sort of, outlandish thing to consider. You want the people represented. They don't all look alike, man. So how do you pick, how do you pick what looks like the people? You get different sorts of people. You get Janet Yellen, potentially first woman to become Treasury Secretary. She was nominated by President Barack Obama to lead the Federal Reserve, the first woman in that position, and served from 2014 to 2018. The emerging cabinet marks a return to a more traditional approach to governing, relying on veteran policymakers with deep expertise and strong relationships in Washington and global capitals. And it's a roster with multiple women and people of color, some of whom are breaking historic barriers in their post. So like I said, man, you know, 2020 is a crazy year, but with this new administration coming in, it looks like we are already starting to make progress, to make history. You know what I'm saying? We're talking Antony Blinken to be Secretary of State, lawyer Alejandro Mayorkas to be Homeland Security Secretary, Linda Thomas-Greenfield to be U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, and Jake Sullivan, National Security Advisor. Averill Haynes, former deputy director of the CIA, nominated as director of national intelligence, the first woman to hold that post. Thomas Greenfield, black, and Mayorkas, Cuban American. So again, man, just the amount of diversity you see, I think that's a great way of showing people, hey, we weren't just talking that jive when it came to making the cabinet a nice discourse that's more representative of the entire country. That's how you go about doing that, by making the nominations very diverse. And I think it's something that, if you're talking unification, and I'm not always for it, because sometimes, you know, even in political spheres, when people get to acting like asses and think they can just do that and go uninhibited or have no consequences for it, I can sometimes get behind a little consequential action. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes every action does deserve a reaction, but they're not doing that. We're just trying to move past, you know, move beyond people just pledging devout loyalty to a crazy person and get back to a sense of unity. So fine, I'll move on as well. You know, so we're picking a robust cabinet that better represents the country. So you got Biden picking Pete Buttigieg as transportation secretary. And if Buttigieg is confirmed, the 38-year-old will be Biden's youngest pick and the first openly gay person for a cabinet position. So again, you know, if you're a minority, a woman, a person of color, it's just, you know, looking at this from a top-down perspective, it's encouraging. I'd say it's progress in the right direction as far as representation mattering and being able to see that representation in your government at the highest levels. You've got Biden picking Deb, I hope I'm pronouncing her last name, Haaland, to be the first Native American Interior Secretary. So that would be a first for the Native American community as well. So, you know, I for one, appreciate these efforts. I know all these people obviously may not end up getting confirmed, but I like the fact that these sorts of things are still happening as far as the selection process. The first people, if you will, that are being nominated for these sorts of spots, I think that's encouraging, because, again, you have to think to the future and beyond just the current situation. How do you get better ideas? You probably want to ask and get the opinions and perspectives of various people who have walked different walks of life and can better, you know, expound upon the needs of their specific communities. You can't do that if it's just a room full of old white guys. I'm just being 100. Yeah, you just, I don't understand how people expect that to ever be accomplished if everybody in the room looks alike and says the same things coming from the same background. And that doesn't make it a racist sort of thing. We're thinking more, you know, nepotism, if anything. It's just the old boys club. It ain't going to be an old boys club no more. It's a lot of diversity and it's way, way overdue. And eventually, I think these are the sorts of steps that lead and may make it easier for a woman to be president in this country one day. I know we came pretty close with Hillary. She won the popular vote, lost the Electoral College vote. But I've already gone on a rant about the Electoral College being one of the biggest crocks of bullshit in this country. I ain't gonna go over it again, but alas, this time around for the presidential race, Biden cleared the popular vote by some odd 5 million, which we'll take that. It's a clear sign. Then had to, again, just had this process done this week, had the Electoral College go through and retabulate their votes to again confirm what we had already known, maybe not instantaneously after the 3rd of November, because of course we still have some states counting for a few days after that. But sitting here in the third week of December talking about the Electoral College finally confirming it, it's like, wow, son, we've been waiting all this time for something we already knew because It had already been confirmed that this man had won and that there was no widespread voter fraud. There was no millions of illegal ballots being pumped in. The man fell on the same sword that he was advocating against. You only wanted people to vote in person on election day. Cool. It looks like they did that. He had a nice record turnout as well. But then you was telling people not to vote in by mail. Can't be mad. Can't be mad with them results. Then don't really look like what you thought they were going to look like, buddy. But alas, we're off of that. Again, I like how Biden and Harris are picking the cabinet. I like the diversity that it shows. I like the outreach as far as trying to assemble what I believe can be a robust cabinet that better addresses the needs of people that may often be unspoken for or just marginalized. So that's some definite progress and one of the few positive takeaways I think everybody can look forward to seeing in the future. Now, this next segment is something new I've been thinking on, and I'm thinking of dubbing it my thought of the day. Today's thought of the day. Sometimes I wish I was dumber, but I can't afford the ignorance tax. Now, I say that because it just seems, if you're ever paying attention outside of the bubble, you know what I'm saying? Looking outside of yourself, if you will. If you're looking at things that trend, if you're looking at random tidbits of information here, they're the things that have people talking in groups or communicating in the most sort of random atmospheres and circles. It just seems that a lot of stupid stuff is generally still what's the most popular. And it's, I don't know, it's always off-putting in a sense to think that the public discourse is typically around a bunch of shit that just don't matter. And you think if any year where there'd be a little less of that, if there were going to be more consistency as far as the main topics where you have to keep your foot on people's necks, as people say they always are about doing, applying that pressure, if you will. This was definitely one of those, man, where to be unfocused or not resolved in staying the course of what the fuck matters most. I don't know. This just couldn't be it. This couldn't be it. You know what I'm saying? Staying down and low-key peeping everything off the scene is always the way to be from my perspective because that works best for me. But I'm just saying it does sometimes look like fun to make dumb decisions, but I just can't afford that sort of ignorance tax, man. It's I don't know. If you're hearing this, let me know what you think about that. I wish I was dumber, but I just can't afford that ignorance tax. It would just be too negligent, too irresponsible of me to play myself and end up possibly playing others as a result into negative situations. Now, you know, I'm sure some of that comes with age, but age doesn't always bring maturity. Age and attrition don't always bring about clear perspectives, the ability to stick to one's guns, so to speak, to be singularly focused. That doesn't always accrue with age. So, you know, you think about it from where you are now, where you might have been 5 years ago, where you want to be in the next five. I just think sometimes it looks fun being dumb. Thought of the day. Now, following up on that thought of the day, man, let's talk about the orange commander in chief, really wilding the fuck out on his way out of the White House, talking no troops in Middle East. He's got problems now with the AG Barr, who's getting fired before Christmas because he wouldn't continue the stupidity of claiming election fraud. DT is that friend you don't want because as soon as y'all get into a spat, they run and tell all your business and try and throw dirt on your name. But if you've been paying attention, haven't had your head in the sand, it's nothing new. The behavior is just as outlandish as it ever has been over the course of these 4 years. Just really going out sad, if you think about it, makes me happy, but is sad to watch at the same time. And so just again, reiterating, the fact that, you know, to have some sense of true leadership and normalcy returning, real adults back in control, overseeing things, is definitely a change for the better. Now, back on that vaccine that I was talking about earlier, you had Obama, GW, and Clinton saying they're all going to get it on air to try and convince people to also take it. But, you know, for me, not even Obama, GW, and Clinton doing that can make me be the first in line for it. Not gonna cut it for me, Brody. Not gonna cut it. Like I said, man, you know, you gotta see how it goes. People gotta take it, wait 3 weeks, then take the second round of it in whatever sense that is. So, you know, like I said, I'll be observing from a distance, seeing how this shit plays out. But I had to come back and say that, man. This guy's just been wild, and even on his way out, I think he'd do a favor and cool out, I guess. I don't know why I might have thought that might be the wave, knowing who we know this man to be, showing himself true at all times. So I guess just the wild shit is just going to continue. But alas, y'all, we're in the last of the dark days in this sense, hoping to turn the corner to brighter pages. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So then this episode, this debut of the segment with the thought of the day, I have a second thought of the day. And I could have put this in the political section of the show, but it just reoccurred to me and I wanted to get it off my chest. Like I said, you have some former presidents doing a bit of talking now, getting involved with pushing the vaccine forward. Of course, everybody trying to fight this COVID in all the smart ways fighting it as possible. But you also had Obama going out of his way to say, to speak negatively about the slogan that is defund the police, as if to characterize it in the most simplistic fashion of meaning just that. Defund them with no actual understanding of the movement behind it, saying that's, you know, fostering or you know, pushing forward this sort of slogan on people was just going to deter them and make it harder to cooperate. When, I don't know, is he expecting people that have been, let's say non-cooperative, if I'm putting it nicely, in the last 4 years to all of a sudden just get back in line and try to do the greater good or do what's really best for people that may not have seen things the same way? It's always interesting, the person that wants those that have been, extreme in views and sorts, that have been not marginalized, or that have been marginalized rather, to then be pacifistic and open arms with people that have been in opposition. And so that's always this weird thing with me. It kind of goes back again to the Martin versus Malcolm days of which philosophy for people of color, black people specifically, which one is a better adaptation of life for getting along with others, if you will. And so defund the police, I still stand on it. I still stand for it. And because it's not just disbanding the police. Again, if we're getting into the semantics of it and making our word choice as imperative as it could be, disfund and disband are not synonymous. The concepts behind defunding the police mean funding more things like affordable housing, job training, education, mental health counseling, substance abuse treatment, all ways that you can continue to empower impoverished communities, continue to support disenfranchised communities or sections of people needing more help, more funding to make systemic and sustainable change. And then by also empowering police to do more with less. There are just way too many dollars being spent on hyper-militarized civilians, because again, they are still civilians. There's really no need to continually have their budget rising when they're essentially doing the same things every year and have access to adequate, beyond adequate technology in just about every sense imaginable. So I can't get behind disbanding the idea of not saying defund the police. No, still want the police defunded and still want more affordable housing funding, more job training to everybody, more education funding. more mental health counseling, and more substance abuse treatment. Easy, simple, five things that publicly serve communities and could continue to serve them even better with more funding if we defunded the police. In sports, the NBA is back. The NBA is back. The NBA is bike. Official season kicks off December 22nd. So it's really right around the corner. Literally, basically 2 months ago, my Lakers, shout out to Laker Nation, of course, hoisted up the trophy. And the season's about to kick off basically again next week. Do I think there's a chance of them repeating? Obviously. I mean, you got LeBron still, okay, check mark there. You got Anthony Davis now validated that he can get the job done as being, you know, that second guy, the next top dog, if you will, the second superstar on the team next to LeBron. Okay, we got that confirmed and check. You've got upgrades in different positions. Rondo was nice, and I'm going to miss Rondo, you know, but we've upgraded to a younger point guard in Schroeder. Respect to that man. I like that pickup. I like THT coming along. There's a lot of hype around THT. And believe me when I say it's justified. Man's only 20. Young Bull is going to be a problem. So just something to sleep on and watch. If I'm thinking the East, there's a lot of stiff competition about who I think my Lakers will end up facing. Giannis re-signed. They got Drew Holiday from the Pelicans. You got KD and Kyrie in Brooklyn. KD has played a little in the preseason. He's looking like he may end up, you know, picking up where he left off some odd 18 months ago. So they're going to be a tough out. Obviously, you still have the Sixers with Simmons and Embiid for now. And I say for now because that appears to be one of the destinations James Harden wants to be traded to because he wants up and out of Houston, who just traded John Wall and Russell Westbrook, essentially swapping spots. Wall is now in Houston, even though he's obviously still going to be very beloved by the D.C. community. They really appreciate everything he's done there. Now you've got Russ in D.C. with Bradley Beal. So I think they'll be interesting to look at. You know, even though Harden wants to be traded, he's still showed up in the preseason games thus far and contributed in his minutes. So I honestly don't know what to make out of that man wanting out of Houston. I mean, yes, you got a new head coach and a new GM. I get it. You know, they was basically letting this man do whatever the fuck he wanted to do. So, of course, that's cool. And most people in that opportunity and situation will take full advantage of that because that's just how some people are built. So I understand it from that perspective. Where do I think he fits to make a contending team even better? I really don't know. Because obviously, if this doesn't happen before the season starts, you're already getting a limited amount of meshing time or chemistry building time. It's really going to have to be some mid-season, possibly on the fly sort of thing as far as getting that if he does get traded early and not closer towards the trade deadline or at all. Because the man's under contract for another couple of years. So Houston, you know, they could trade him to somewhere he wants to be or could trade him somewhere he doesn't want to be. Doesn't really matter. He's not in control of that. Ultimately, they're just trying to get the best deal possible because, again, they had to move basically heaven and earth in the last couple years to get CP3 in and out and then to get, you know, Westbrook in and out. So tight situation there. Of course, even in the East still, you got the Celtics on the rise. LaMelo Ball just got drafted to Charlotte, looking like Michael Jordan finally has a point guard who he cannot ruin, hopefully. Hopefully, you just let that man hoop and grow into his own, and everything will be cool there. Just comes with playing time. But I think that'll be interesting to see if and when Harden gets moved, where he ends up. Because it could end up getting sent somewhere to a non-contending team if that's the best offer that comes available. Who knows? The Rockets don't really owe that man any sort of favors. Da-na-na, da-na-na. Breaking news in the NFL. Literally, as I'm recording this breaking news, Drew Brees will start Sunday versus the Chiefs after a four-game absence for the Saints. So it appears it's going to be an interesting game. You don't normally have two of the top teams from each conference going at it this late in the season. That definitely doesn't happen very often at all. With having the Chiefs visit the Saints in New Orleans this weekend. Breeze has been covering from around, 10 or 11 fractured ribs and a punctured lung, for these past four games. And so it looks like, in going up against the Chiefs, this man's going to be healthy. It's tough, according to the numbers in Vegas. Saints will probably still end up being an underdog. Let's see. We're talking official numbers here. Show you what the money looking like. You always can get an idea looking at the money. Usually, you get 3 points for being the home team in most situations, unless you're just trash. But we got Kansas City by 3, even though they're on the road in the Superdome, man. So it's basically a touchdown flip as far as the Chiefs being favored in this particular game. Be interesting to see if that line moves, the over-under at 51.5. Be interesting to see if it moves in the next few hours with this update of Breeze coming back. Obviously, if you're in the fantasy playoffs still, like I am in one league, but in my league with the Brodies, I'm out. Unfortunate. Forget you, no offense. Screw me. Man, put up a goose egg in the playoffs. It's terrible. Just terrible. And the Panthers let the Broncos basically have a career game from their young quarterback, Drew Lock. Who threw like 3 touchdowns or 4 touchdowns rather, and only had like 6 incompletions the entire game. So that was terrible playing their defense as well. But I digress. Like I said, breaking news, Drew Brees to start. And basically that should be game of the week, really. You got the 12-1 Chiefs, the 10-3 Saints, 4:25 p.m. Eastern on CBS. That is going to be a hell of a game. Other big games to look at, the night game. On Sunday, you got the Browns, who coming off a thrilling game, really, against the Ravens on Monday, where, Baker Mayfield and Lamar Jackson were basically going blow for blow, taking their teams down the field and scoring points. The Browns end up losing that one by a field goal at the horn. But it's no taking away credit from Baker Mayfield. He was fantastic in that game, one of his best games. And Lamar Jackson showed that he could be clutch and come up big in big moments also. So that was also fantastic to see. You'll have the Browns versus the Giants. And the Giants are decent that, obviously they play in the NFC East, the worst conference in football. But they play tough defense and they've won, I think, 4 out of the last 5. I say 4 out of the last 5 because Colt McCoy was QB and Daniel Jones tried to come back even though he still looked hurt and he got beat down by the Cardinals defense last weekend. But that defense should make the game pretty interesting. Still, you'll have some other games, Eagles, Cardinals, Jets, Rams, Jags, Ravens. A good game as well, Seahawks and Washington. Again, Washington's in that shit conference, but play a lot of hellacious defense. We're talking about a Washington team that just gave Ben Roethlisberger the blues and then turned around and went out to San Fran and gave them the blues too. So that Washington football team, man, they play hard. Russ has been hit quite a bit, even though he's still been trying to put up some MVP consideration worthy numbers. So that should be interesting to see how he does versus Chase Young in that defense. That defense is ferocious. You got Patriots, Dolphins, Bears, Vikings, Colts, Texans, Lions, Titans, Niners, Cowboys, Bucks, Falcons, Panthers, Packers, Bills, Broncos. Not really too interested in any of those games, but this is the week where you start to see the NFL on Saturday. So those last two games I mentioned, Bills, Broncos, and Panthers, Packers, they're happening on Saturday, 4:30 and 8:15 on NFL Network. I'm taking the Bills. Got the Bills by 6 as the line. I definitely take that and expect them to cover. They're humming along. Josh Allen has definitely shown he is that dude in Buffalo. They have a nice young quarterback. If I'm thinking of my rankings for QBs in the AFC, Allen is definitely top 3 or 4, man. There's Mahomes, Watson, and possibly Allen for that third spot right now in the AFC. The game after that, Panthers-Packers. Green Bay by 8.5. Sounds about right. That line could be even bigger, but hey, we're talking over a touchdown already. The Panthers, 4-9. No Christian McCaffrey. No real reason to be out here winning games with only a few left in the season. Should be thinking about draft spots. And not going to have Christian McCaffrey again this weekend. I expect Aaron Rodgers to put up some dumb, stupid numbers against that trash Panthers defense and for him to continue his MVP campaign, which he is clearly concerned about if you were looking at any of his recent interviews. He definitely wants to be in that consideration. Would I give him the slight nod over Patrick Mahomes? Mahomes had a shaky performance, in my estimation, against the Dolphins this past weekend. Threw three picks. Two of them were off of tip drills. But, you know, the causal links of your interceptions doesn't show up in the stat sheet. Now, he still did end up having a better QBR than Tua, who was across from him. And, Chiefs did end up winning that game. And he did end up throwing for damn near 400 yards. So can't slight the man in that sense, but it was a bit careless, if you will, from Patrick Mahomes. You're usually pretty darn good about taking care of the ball. I had a pretty good game AFC West competition last night. Chargers, Raiders. Chargers won in overtime on a Justin Herbert rushing touchdown. The Raiders defense is trash. When I say trash, we're talking big trash. The Chargers basically moving up and down the field on them guys at will. Herbert with some late game heroics. That game could have been over like four plays before that when he bombed, threw a bomb downfield to Guyton. And he basically just got tagged at the 2-yard line. So, you know, 5-9 Chargers, 7-7 Raiders. I'm never rooting for any other teams out of my division. Barely rooting for my own. But there you have it, folks. That is your NFL slate for this weekend. Drew Brees and the Chiefs versus Mahomes. Highlight game of the week in the NFL. And again, with 2020 being the weirdest year, but us still making strides and progress despite the odds, I think I'd be, you know, remiss if I didn't mention that Major League Baseball is set to recognize the Negro League as a major league. In their statement, they say they are correcting a long-time oversight by adding Negro League stats and records to Major League Baseball's history. So again, you know, you always wonder about the sort of timing with these things or what's the last straw, if you will, that makes people that have been in power and okay with the status quo all of a sudden change their tune. I don't really give a shit about baseball. I just like that aspect of people that are in the sport somehow. Same sport, just a different league. Just like the NFL was once the AFL and the National League. Merging forces, then you merge the record books, how they thought keeping the record books separate was the way to go. I'm not really sure how that was a thing. They also have the Cleveland team that was formerly known as the Indians dropping that moniker and will be adapting something new, similar to how the Washington football team is trying to correct that terrible name as well. So, you know, again, it's as weird as 2020 has been, as challenging as it is, in some of these capacities where sports and real life intersect, making change and progress, doing the right things, if you will, not having derogatory slogans be the, you know, calling card or the marks of your team. There is progress being made. So definitely didn't want to exclude that small bit of news there and a gem for the Major League Baseball community. In other entertainment news, we had filmmaker Christopher Nolan calling HBO Max the worst streaming service after their decision with Warner Media to send 17 of their films directly to the streaming service in 2021 was announced. He felt that decision made no economic sense, which is interesting because, again, 2020 has just been a shit show, obviously. Economically speaking, a number of industries negatively impacted. But, you know, especially if you're talking about trying to crowd movie theaters and pack them like they would have normally been. Obviously, that isn't happening anytime soon, bruh. That hasn't been the way for a hot little minute. And until, you know, the next phase of this whole vaccination process, reemergence, you know, process into the large community, if you will, as far as places being crowded and it being okay for shit to just be crowded like that. Until that is some definitive point in time, how he would expect films to be just, you know, doing big numbers like they would before all of this broke down is just really out of touch. Christopher Nolan, I just had this segment and this on my mind because he's one of the best filmmakers in the country. That movie Tenet, you know, with David Washington and the surrounding cast, possibly a film of the year, one of the best of this past year. But again, I'm sure the numbers from it, from the box office perspective, haven't been that great. But again, man, you're doing this in the midst of one of the early, quote, lulls of the pandemic, if you will, where it was looking like we might have had things under control for a hot minute. So I'm gonna just drop this film back in theaters to get it back cracking. No, Playboy, ain't nobody say just do that. Just because you went way out and spent an exorbitant amount on a movie budget, now you're trying to recoup. You got to read the room. Read the room. So this move really just makes sense. I kind of expected, you know, with Netflix in that same sense of, you know, it could be something that's coming in movies or just like with Amazon Prime. They all have it where, yes, we've got very talented people on staff, on retainer that we're working with to make these projects. And you may see the commercial on TV or something, but it's dropping exclusively or same day as in movie theaters on our streaming platform because people are still in the house, bruh. So yes, for 2021, doing this sort of deal, especially with HBO Max being the newest streaming app, if you will, to the game. Because, I mean, you've got all your anime streaming platforms, Crunchyroll, you've got Netflix for all of its original content. Amazon Prime's got their own original content and licensed content. They've got NFL games. HBO Max obviously has their own content. You got the Peacock app with NBC developing. Also, they're going to be taking all of their content off of other people's platforms and centralizing it on their own platform, which is going to obviously keep them in business in addition to what they have coming down the line, I'm sure. So HBO Max is really, out of those four, the newest one, if you will, as far as being with this whole streaming service. And so I think doing that sort of deal where, yes, we'd love for everybody to just be packing the movie theaters, bro, and going back to life as we once knew it. But until then, having a deal to drop the content same day is essentially a way of covering your ass. Will it also down the numbers of people going to theaters? Yes. But if you're thinking from nobody being in theaters to a few people being in theaters and then more people seeing it through a deal with the streaming service being provided, that's a look up. Now, I'm probably sure he also doesn't like his splits out of that situation and the content deal for maybe such a vast number, with that being 17 of the films directly to streaming. It's not like he has to make all 17 of those. So again, a little perspective, Christopher Nolan. Read the room, bruh. Read the motherfucking room. Okay, let's talk some music. Music for your consideration. Some of the albums I've been listening to lately, they may have already dropped. I know a couple of them did. Recession 2. From Jeezy, I've definitely been giving that more spins as of late. Juicy J's new project, The Hustle Continues, definitely has some standout songs on it. Even that Lil Yachty project, the deluxe version of it, if you will, Lil Boat 3.5, I was really digging that one. I don't know, low-key Lil Yachty is one of them new rappers I really enjoy hearing from sometimes. I can't even lie. He'd be surprising me. Pleasant surprises out of that kid. Let's see, that Bad Bunny album. And again, for me, music is one of those things, even if I'm not understanding, 15-20% of what this man's saying, the beats, the melodic tones of it, I really, really do be digging that. For Such a Time as This by Eric Reed. I know that's a sleeper pick. You're all welcome in advance if you're into some nice, cool jazz music like myself for such a time as this by Eric Reed is definitely the sleeper pick, if you will, of sorts. Welcome to Jet Life Recordings from Currency and Friends. Essentially, everybody on the Jet Life label is on that tape. And I gotta send one last album, Les Dios Volume 1. Shout out to that man out of Houston, Texas, native to that area as well as New Orleans. Definitely just opened his first store. So shout out to that man right there in the community. Always making those smooth tunes, man. For me, I like to have some smooth rap tunes to just be cool and chill with. It ain't always got to be the murder music really to get you going. So shout out to that man, Dios Volume 1. And those are the music albums for your consideration. Now, this is also that time of the year where you get your end of the year recaps from whatever streaming apps you're listening to music on. I had mine. I put them out on Twitter a little early. I'm going to just give them for the pod listeners that might not have heard. As far as my top five artists, they were Currency, Les, Lil Baby, Wiz Khalifa, and Smoke Dizza. As a person who gets out, get a little cardio, or at least tries to every morning, I listen to a lot of hip-hop to kind of get me going. And aside from Currency and Les just being two of my favorite artists, Lil Baby, Wiz Khalifa, and Smoke Dizza rounding out the top five is definitely who the fuck I am and what I'll be listening to, man. So it was hella appropriate there. Six and seven picks, I'd already know who those were. They'd be Alina Baraz as well as Rihanna as far as my R&B selections go. And really, I want to give a shout out, man. Speaking of recapping the year, this has been a on and off year, I know, for me and the podcast. And I appreciate everybody that's stuck with me and still listening. And it's been a growing year, really trying to formalize things. I still like doing everything on my own, so really trying to evolve within that construct. But also invite friends and family. As you know, we went through a bunch of guest episodes, and I may still sneak one out on y'all before the end of the year as far as a surprise guest goes here. But definitely shout out to everybody that's been listening really all over the world, man. Just looking at some interesting podcast numbers and feedback. Had people that listened to the last episode in Ireland, Canada, UK, Sweden, Netherlands, Turkey, India, Germany, and Singapore. Even if it's just like 1% of listens coming from those areas, I appreciate everybody that's hearing this, wherever you're hearing this on all your streaming platforms. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. And we'll continue to grow and, you know, keep these tunes international, keep this news international when I, feel up to the task of being international about it, and keep going forever forward and onward. And there you have it, people. Episode 21 of the official Dom J Radio Show. Saving season. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. I'm always open to feedback. I always appreciate the commentary that I get when I drop these episodes. Like I said in the earlier segment, thank you to those that are listening internationally. I had no idea the podcast was being heard in that sense. So again, thank you. Happy holiday seasons to everybody. If you don't hear me on the next episode before the year ends, but I might still, like I said, come back and drop a little special on y'all. You know what I'm saying? A little something for the holiday season, a little gift, if you will. But in the meantime, in between time, I hope y'all stay blessed, stay safe out there. If you're traveling, especially, safety first. Embrace change, embrace your loved ones in a new way if you have to. But just remember, tough times don't last, tough people do. In the meantime, in between times, stay woke, y'all. Drink plenty of water, get plenty of rest, and mind your business. To the next episode. Peace.